They focus on the war years, beginning with your starting work at Lockheed. And where we were last, you have to excuse me, the small of it.
Would you like a Coke or
no,
a 7-Up?
It won't make any difference. It's, I have, well, when we stopped last time, you had talked about working then at that house, and you had friends who were, can you tell me how you first found out about Lockheed and made the decision then to go apply for jobs?
Well, ever since I had been in California, I had known people that worked at Lockheed. Even though Lockheed was employing very few people, this group, you know, I told you I went to, there were a couple of fellows came to that worked at Lockheed. And so I had heard of Lockheed. But then once the war was on and they started hiring, I've forgotten how I had two friends in particular that thought I ought to come there and work. And this one says, oh, go on swing. I didn't realize till afterwards that was a mistake, but I did go on swing. And, of course, I knew about Lockheed because, I was living in Pasadena, well, in San Marino at the time. These people lived in San Marino. And so Lockheed seemed like the place to go. Instead, I didn't know where Northrop or Douglas were located. Oh, I guess I had been past the Douglas plant, but that seemed so far away, and Lockheed was just out here. It didn't seem far. Besides, with all those nice friends working at Lockheed, I thought that would be the place to go.
Now, when did you decide to go into defense work?
Well, when they begin advertising, and you could see there was an opportunity. And I thought, I was partly motivated by patriotism. Not entirely, but I thought, well, this would be a good time to get out and get something else. And then, while a lot of the people that I knew at Lockheed didn't seem to feel that way, when I got there, I was surprised how many of them said, oh, I'm just here during the war. I can't hardly wait to get out of this place. And I thought that was awful. I said, well, it looks to me like Lockheed's going to be here after the war, and I want to stay at Lockheed.
Now, what do you recall the process of inquiring about the job and the hiring procedure?
Oh, well, it was advertised, I think, on the radio or in the newspaper. I know I went to a place down in Los Angeles. I wasn't afraid to I'd drive any place in Los Angeles then. The places I didn't drive now. But I think I, let's see, I decided that I would go down there. And when they told me that I probably would be hired, then I gave this lady notice. I didn't leave without, I'd forgotten how much notice I gave her. I think probably 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I didn't just run off. So I went down there, and I was interviewed by, I think one or two people, but it was a mass production line. You went in first, you filled out a form, then it seemed like you sat, then they called you, and I remember I took a test. They said it was a dexterity test to see how, I don't remember what all it was now, but I know it was fingering things and, I think putting, it was almost like you have kindergartners do. It was a dexterity test. Also, now I don't remember if that was where I took it or whether I took that test out at Lockheed. I know it took, I think I took it there. We took some kind of an IQ test. And I know, I remember the interviewer, then finally you got to where you was interviewed, and that's where the man said that he didn't see why anybody that was making that much money wanted to come to Lockheed. And, but I told him I wanted to. I thought, for one thing, while this family was very good to me and while I made good money, I didn't want to do that the rest of my life. And I thought this was a good chance. And then also, I was partly motivated by patriotism. And actually, I think many of the people who went to Lockheed to work at that time were motivated by that, particularly many of the housewives. Of course, I think many of the men were motivated by, well, some of them, it was the first chance they'd had to get a really good job. You know, we were just coming out of the Depression. And then, of course, if they didn't, they would probably go in the Army. And even the ones that were 4F had to work there. It seems like there was some kind of pressure that, I guess they didn't have to, but actually, that was good money for them, because, and you got time and a half for overtime, and if you worked Sunday, I seldom did.
Did you know all this before, when you went out for your interview?
Oh, I didn't know what I would be doing, but I knew what these friends were getting, and this one girl had explained that you get a review of, what was it, I've forgotten now what the review period was at that time, but I think it was after 6 weeks, and then I think you got another review after 3 months, and if you stayed that long, I believe you were permanent, unless you did something awful, you know. Well, everybody was permanent then, unless they did do something awful, like get drunk on the job, or if they caught them stealing, and I guess they did catch a few like that. There were certain things, but I mean, if you did halfway behaved, why, you were pretty sure the job. Yeah.
What kind of work were your friends, the women, doing?
Well, she was working in the shop,
mm-hmm.
and she was on some kind of assembly, though. I don't believe she riveted. Yes, I believe she did. She was tall. She was very tall. But whether it was just because they needed people in electrical at that, or in tube assembly at that time, or whether they thought because I was small I should not go into where they were riveting, I don't know.
What was your expectation when you first went down to apply of what your job would be? Did you have any?
Well, I figured I'd be working out in the shop doing something. I remember the man, I guess, maybe when he saw my, that I had taught school or something, he thought I ought to go in the office, but I told him I didn't know how to type, because this little school, this small town school I had attended did not have a business training course when I graduated. I think it was 2 years later before the time. And I thought, you must have to type and take shorthand to get in the office. Well, of course, after I got out there, I found out differently. My, there were many clerical jobs, old filing, answering the phone, and then there were a lot of jobs that just demanded procedures, you know, but you didn't have to type.
Well, would you have preferred to have gone into non-production work?
I think I would have preferred to be in the office, but I felt I wasn't qualified, and I didn't want to, you know, I thought I'd better do something that I could do. There was still that, at that time, people still could think that if they didn't perform, they might get fired. And besides, I thought that working in the shop would be a very patriotic thing to do.
Do you remember, how was it just a one-day process down at the Los Angeles office?
I was down there one day, but I was 2 days out at Lockheed before I got hired in.
Oh, and then what were those 2 days like?
Oh, I went out there, let's see, that was a production line thing, too. I had to, they gave us some old slips of paper that told all about the requirements at Lockheed, things you must do and must not do. And then I had to fill in an application for Lockheed there. See, down there, that was a clearinghouse, I think, for Douglas.
Oh, for all the aircraft.
I believe it was. It seems to me it was, because I believe I had, I think I told them I wanted to work at Lockheed. Yes, I think that was a clearinghouse for the whole L.A. area. And I believe now, although at the time it didn't mean a thing to me, I think that was, those people were paid by government. I think it was. But now I was out at Lockheed, and, oh heavens. There again, it seemed like I took some more tests. But I got, but you see, we'd have to wait in line, and, then if it got to be break time, the people that were processing us, they, you know, took their break, and so we had to wait longer. Let's see, we had to be told about, we were given some instructions about security. We were not to talk about anything, you know, this was war work, and then I got through with everything except the physical, and I had to go back the next day for that. And then I believe it was 2 or 3 days before I went to work, although it seems to me I went to work on a Saturday, and I thought that was kind of unusual. Mm.
Now, during the 2 days of processing, did they tell you yet what job you were being hired for?
Well, yes, I knew, but I didn't know what it was like. Here it said that I was in plumbing. Now, this will sound funny to you. Let's see, tube assembly. No, they didn't tell me. I was a detail tube assembler. You know, all these lines that they had on the planes, and they had many more of them than they do now. Because I remember when I talked with somebody while I waited that first day to go into my job, they looked and they said, oh, they said, that's in plumbing. It said, you'll probably be, they made it sound like I was going to, they said, that's dirty work. Now, I got the idea that I would probably be cleaning the toilets on the plane. But it wasn't. It wasn't that at all. But that was a long process, getting hired in out there. We were assigned our department number. Oh, and we had to have our picture taken for our pass. At that time, we got a badge and a pass.
Mm-hmm.
Only after I left have they combined the two.
Oh.
They were beginning to do it in 77 when I left. Well, maybe the fall of 76. Now you just have one, it was a lot like our pass, has the picture on it, and that gets you in. But at this time, we had a pass. I still have that.
Oh, yes. In fact, next time I should get...
Had my picture on it because, and I carried it in a billfold so I could show it to the guard easily. You didn't want to have to.
But your badge would just be a number, basically.
It was a round badge. I'll get to that. There was a difference in oval badges and round badges. And if you had an oval badge, that meant you were on salary. But if you had a round badge, you were on hourly and you clocked in. And if you were late, that meant you were docked. I don't think I was ever, well, yes, a few times, not very often. I was seldom late, but at first I started riding the bus, although I had a car, but they were running these buses,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want to use my gas coupons to drive to work, so I only drove to work once in a while when I wanted to, once in a while on Friday, some of us would go someplace, and I went on that, went on the bus out there. Let's see, what did I start to do?
Oh, about being late. I wanted to go backing up a little. How did you prepare then for your first day? What did you do about your housing and what?
Oh,
what did
well,
you do
I
about
already
clothing?
Had. I already had an apartment.
Oh, you.
I had already. Yes, since I knew that I was, I had already found a small apartment in Pasadena. I found that, I guess. I found that before I left my other job. I thought I gave her 2 weeks' notice, but I may have given more than that because she knew I was leaving, and I started to prepare for that. Also, out there they were told that we would have to wear slacks to work. And so since it was in the shop, it seems to me that I bought a pair of blue jeans because I'm quite sure... when I remember wearing blue jeans when I first started in the shop, and then I think I just wore a cotton blouse that I had worn, you know, for sports. Otherwise, you know, when I had been working, because I had cotton blouses that I wore to the beach or the mountains, so I wore one of those. And
yeah, but did you have slacks already, or you had? To
yes, I think I had some slacks, but. Since this was going to be in the shop and be dirty work, well, I thought I ought to wear blue jeans. was I ever surprised when I got how dressed up some of these women were. I tell you, if you think that pantsuits now are dressy, some of them really wore expensive slacks. And later on, you know, it was hard to find slacks to fit me. I had some made for me. They didn't really cost that much, but I wore those blue jeans a while, and I would wear them some, but when I saw that all the other women were so gussied up with their wool or rayon slacks, I decided that I didn't need to look like a little brown man, you know. I could, well, I was too, however, I, you know, that kind of bothered me, and I still wore those slacks some, because that was dirty work down there in the shop, and I don't know why on earth those women wanted.
Were they mainly the much younger women who were so dressed?
Oh, not necessarily. Mm. No, it was all of them. Mm-hmm. But I do remember this one woman I worked with at first. Boy, did she come in dolled up. Fancy slacks, and some of them were, they finally had to come up with a few rules, but some of them wore very fancy blouses. Of course, if they had a job where they didn't work near a machine, mm-hmm. they could dress nicer. Now, if you work near a machine, you had to wear a hairnet. And it seems to me that while we were supposed to wear hairnets in this one department, many of them didn't. But that was another thing. They told me a hairnet. So I had a hairnet. I got a hairnet. Got out there and discovered most of the women were wearing these fancy snoots. So I love fancy snoots. And we wore snoots. But later on, they really cracked down on them if they didn't wear their hairnets mm-hmm. or their snoots, because a woman had been scalped. You know, some of those machines yeah. going around. And, of course, we were wearing our hair quite long at that time. Not as long as some of them do now, but it was down to our shoulders, mm-hmm. yes.
Now, what about shoes?
We were told we must wear shoes with toes in them.
Steel toes?
No, that was only for only certain men usually had to wear those. Out where they were handling very heavy things. I never did have to wear safety shoes, and many of the women didn't. I don't say that none of them did, but I don't recall knowing any woman that had to. And I think if you had to wear safety shoes, now I know with the safety glasses, there was a place there where we could get fitted for safety glasses. And I hadn't been on the job an awfully long time till they had us get safety, had me get mm-hmm. safety glasses. But I didn't have that the first day. Mm-hmm. And we were to get a toolbox. I had a toolbox.
What were you supposed to have in your toolbox?
I guess I didn't take the toolbox in the first day. Then they told us what tools to get.
Where did you get your toolbox? At the company? Or?
I don't remember. I think I just bought it at a store. I don't think I bought it from the company. Later on, any tools I needed, I bought from the company. But I didn't really need so many tools till I got in another department.
Do you remember the reaction when you went to buy your toolbox? Was there any kind
Not
of
too much, because a lot of women were buying them then. It was common then. Mm-hmm. And I had a small toolbox. Now, a lot of the men, and even some of the women, had these great big toolboxes on sort of a dolly like there. Well, in a way that kind of resembled some of the things. Well, it was it sat on a thing, and it had four little wheels, mm-hmm. and they could wheel it around.
Mm.
But I never had one of those, because I never really did much what I call heavy mm-hmm. work in the shop, although I was in spot welding for a while.
Now, during the interview then, they told you about the clothing in the toolbox. Did they talk to you at all about the kinds of services at the company? Do you remember the things they
yes.
told you about that?
Oh, yes. They told us all the good things the company gave. And they told us where we could eat lunch if we wanted to. But I think they, I knew that these friends of mine took their lunch. And when I saw those places where they ate, I never could figure out why more people didn't. Besides, I was always one to try to eat healthful food, and I didn't think that was a good idea to go over there and get all that stuff. I always, if I took my sandwich from home, I could have whole wheat bread, and I could take, I remember some of the people, not just first, but about after I'd been there a year, I used to buy artichokes. And they were cold, and I'd take them in with a little bit of mayonnaise. And I remember how surprised people were that anyone would bring anything like that for lunch. They, I guess many of them had never seen artichokes. They'd come from the, Midwest and East. And, I didn't take the same kind of lunch that many of them did all the time. I remember taking carrot sticks and celery. And, of course, I think I took a sandwich all the time at first, and apples, that kind of thing. And I thought that was better, and I thought it was cheaper. And,
of course, when you first started, the big cafeteria had not even been set
no,
up.
No, no, we didn't have any kind of a cafeteria. And then later, after we got it, a number of people got sick from But I don't know why. I just didn't care for that kind of food. I like to do my own cooking. As I recall, see, I was on the swing. I think I ate quite a substantial lunch. Mm. And then, of course, I took my lunch to eat out there. And then I, sometimes when I got home, I was always hungry, so I'd fix something. But my main thing was I wanted to be sure I ate, that my meals were nutritious. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think that old French fries and all that, I'd forgotten what all they had, but it seemed to me there was an awful lot of thick bread. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you recall them telling you about counselors or the employees club or the union in that initial
I believe
stage?
They did mention the union, but not very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they did tell us that. I don't think they had counselors yet when I first hired in. It seems to me we didn't hear those counselors till after I'd been there about 6 months. Or
no,
while.
Yeah, that's probably true.
It seems to me they didn't have. Yes, they told us all. They even spoke about the credit union and the group insurance, how much that would cost. Well, I'd never been sick, so I didn't bother with the group insurance, and I never needed it till I never really had it till about years later. Just before it was free, they said if you you had to sign up. So I signed up with them, but I never had it because I was very healthy, and I never needed it. So.
Now, this, because you actually signed in June of 42.
That's right.
Which was still early in terms of the big influx of women.
I believe so. However, there were a lot of women there, but they were bringing them in. Oh, my goodness. They were just coming in droves.
Now, can you remember your first day?
Yes. I was taken, let's see, I went in and I was to report to the foreman's office, and they had told me what building and all that, and I think I did take the bus that first day because I remember there was a long wait outside. See, we didn't go to work until 4, and that bus had to go on up further to A1 and way on up there, so it seems to me we got there about 10 minutes after 3. Well, the day shift didn't get off till 3:30. So, of course, we couldn't go in then till about 20 minutes of 4. They didn't want you coming in too early. And then there was something about not clocking in before, I think you weren't supposed to clock in before 10 minutes. Otherwise, it would look like you were needed to be paid overtime. At least that's what somebody said. And then, yes, I was to report to the foreman. Well, there were a few other women there. I think two or three of us, probably about three of us. And of course, he welcomed us to Lockheed and hoped we'd like it and this and that. I think he told Same thing.
And at this point, you were still thinking you were going to be doing plumbing.
Yes. And then I was taken down and introduced to the section supervisor. At that time, Lockheed had section supervisors. They don't have them now. And then he gave us the glad hand. I'm not sure, but I may have been alone by the time I went to... I think he came up and up to the foreman's office and got us. I think I was the only one that went into his section. And I know that I wasn't the only one in the foreman's office, but I don't remember if there were three or five women, because this was a big department, and it was one that was very much suited to women, so they had lots of women in there. Well, then he introduced me to my group leader. And, of course, there again, he welcomed me, you know, welcome to Lockheed and all that. And then he introduced me to the lead man. And then the lead man went over and showed me where I would be working. And then he said to one of the girls there, "Dang, you show her how to do this."
Did you know yet what it was you were going
to
be doing?
Well, by then I begin to think I could see that somewhere they had told me that along the line, whether it was a former or somebody. I knew by then that I wasn't going to be cleaning the toilets on the ship, even though I was in the plumbing. Well, plumbing to me meant bathrooms.
Do you remember your how you experienced the physical environment as you were taken down the line to finally your lead?
It wasn't like I had supposed. The foreman's office was way up on a sort of a balcony-like thing. And I can't say exactly that it was a dirty place, but it was a factory. And the buildings were old, and it certainly wasn't beautiful. But they did try very hard to keep everything safe. Although I look back now and think there was a great big degreaser tank over there, and I'm surprised. I was scared of that thing. I remember one time they wanted me to go dip some tubes in there, and I was afraid of that. But here was all this hot liquid down there. And I remember going over there and kind of hesitating, and one of the fellows says, some of them didn't like the lead man. Some of them, you know how that is. That's, I said, did Fred send you over here to do that? I think he had. He said, Dev, here. And he dipped them down for me because he thought I had no business. I guess I was, and I was scared of that boy. I gave that a wide berth. I didn't get any closer to it than I had to. I'm surprised. I think they changed that within a year. I don't remember it being that bad later on. When I first went there, here was this big degreaser, and there was no fence around. No fence around.